looking around the room and seeing these nice signs that says needs and needs and needs and needs. And everything else is coming from needs. So we're also going to be speaking about needs. The context of it, there's something of a sequence, a logical sequence or a flow from the previous topics. The first, my part, at least, of this weekend together. Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example, acharya, of empathic communication, and what does that mean, or the elements. And then from the heart, because there's a emotional element to empathic component to empathic communication. And when it's from the heart, that's shruti and affective and effective. That was how we ended the discussion. Bhakti is naturally like that. And when one awakens the inherent intention, that was the word that was underlined, or the words underlined, inherent intention within each of us that Krishna should be pleased, regardless of where you're born, language, culture, anything. The covering that we're in doesn't change what's inside. So the awakening of that is the bhakti process, and when bhakti awakens from that deep place within, then your communication is naturally empathic, and it naturally affects. It's affective and effective. It affects the hearts of those who you are in communication with. We also spoke about, during that section, the first one also, the necessity of having a spiritual conception of life. Bhagavad Gita teaching begins, it's ABC, spiritual conception. So how to have relationships, because communication is an aspect of relationship, relating to one another. And having a soul-to-soul relationship. So you see on the right-hand side, there's a cover of Priti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. For those of you that are a little newer, because I'm going to be referring to this Priti Sandarbha again a couple of times. Priti Sandarbha is one of six Sandarbhas, or texts, that are commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, so it's a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And those of you that have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati, Benares head sannyasi of so many Mayavadi sannyasis, he explained Vedanta Sutra very simply. There are three parts. Vedanta Sutra there's four divisions. The first two are under one heading, Sambandha. Understanding the relationship of all things with that source from which they emanate. What's that source? And everything is connected to the source. And then the next is acting within that relationship. And then the final one is what happens when you act in that relationship? What's the fruit or the outcome, the goal, the mature stage of acting in that relationship? So during the morning session, we touched on that. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sadhya. Sadhya, that's the goal. Prema Bhakti is the Sadhya. Remember it was in quotes, Sadhya Kabunoi. So, Priti is a word that Jiva Goswami liked a lot, that in his use of the term, it's the same that we in ISKCON commonly use the word prema. Prema Bhakti and Priti are practically one-to-one correlation. So, Priti Sandarbha is that fine action. Eight is in devotional service. Bhakti Sandarbha precedes Priti Sandarbha. And then the prior four are Sambandha. It's just a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, if you follow what I just said. So we're making reference to the final one of the six Sandarbhas because Prabhupada makes reference to it on our topic of soul-to-soul relationships. And when there's soul-to-soul relationships, naturally there's empathic communication. When it's not a soul-to-soul relationship, good luck. And we're going to see a little cute video of when it's not. Okay, so there it is, everybody. You're very familiar with needs. And we're going to be speaking about something that Prabhupada said, and it's universally true. We need to love and be loved. Everyone. Confirmed. Has a sense, there is so much love I have to give. Where do I repose that so much love that I have to give? Woo, woo, woo. And then, you know, wanting to be loved. It's natural. It's natural because it's of the soul. However, our Acharya Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, there's no love in this material world. Wait a minute. I love my children. I love my dog. I love my BMW. But that's the reflection of the real thing. The real thing is where there's no separate interest. But because here, everywhere, there's a conflict of interest. There's no conflicts. Right? There's no conflicts. Just imagine there's really no conflicts between one nation and another nation, between one family and another family, and one culture and another culture. Why do those conflicts exist? Because here's what, there's different ways of saying it, of expressing it, or illuminating that topic, why there's, how to understand conflict of interest. There's a nice explanation I like very much is from Lord Kapiladev. Lord Kapiladev, the son of Devahuti, is explaining to Devahuti the process of bhakti, and she, hearing from him about bhakti, she understands bhakti's way up here. And we may be way down here. And so, is it possible if you're way down here to engage in bhakti? It's a good question. And he says, sure. Bhakti's pure, but consciousness may not be pure. Consciousness may be influenced by modes of nature. So he describes bhakti that's influenced by ignorance, by passion, by goodness, and pure bhakti. So that's the sadhya, that's the goal, that's the priti that we get to, where there's no separate interest. But the separate interest, ignorance and passion, the language that's used, and it's used elsewhere in the Bhagavatam without getting too far afield, it's pratak. Prabhupada uses a strong word. In America today, in the West today, it has a pejorative term, as an implication, separatist, pratak bhava. So there's Krishna's interest, and then over here there's my interest. And the clash is my interests are not aligned with Krishna's interest. And then over there is somebody whose interest isn't aligned with Krishna's interest, and it just happens to be a different mix of the modes of nature, so it looks like it's a conflict with my interest, but it's really the conflict with Krishna's interest. So, there's no love in this material world. There's the Amritavani, the source. You can look it up later if you wish. But real love is otherworldly. I like this image. It says a lot of things in just an image. There's a nice lotus flower. And down below is a reflection of the lotus flower. And if you notice, the lotus flower that's reflected is both distorted and moving. Not only the screen is moving because of the wind, but the image is moving because it's just a reflection. There's nothing steady about it. And it's upside down. But the reflection tells us that there is such a thing as the real lotus, or the real image of which the reflection is but a reflection. So, real love is otherworldly. Can real love exist this world if one has otherworldly consciousness, and then you can have, in this world you can experience love. But in this love, excuse me, in this world there's no love because of conflict of interest. So now we've narrowed down what the problem is. Wow. Too many peacocks. The problem is conflict of interest. Our interest is not Krishna's interest. Remember the nice definition from this morning of those hearts, and inside is another heart, and inside is wanting to please Krishna. If that's there, intrinsic, inherent in our heart, it's there, but it's covered by these other things. Therefore, separate interest. Therefore, no love. So we want to get to the otherworldly love, even within this world. So there we are. We're a spirit soul within this body. And it's the beginning teaching of Bhagavad Gita, beginning teaching of any spiritual teaching that's worth its salt, is it teaches you who you are not and who you are. And that who you are, that spark of life within, is radiating consciousness throughout the body and extends beyond the body. Now, over the Thanksgiving weekend, we had a number of discussions on this slide, so I'm putting it in here because I'm expecting some discussion on it. Thought-provoking. So, the living entity, that fellow that's us inside, that little skinny guy, that's us. And that's the jiva. Remember, soul-to-soul relationships. That jiva is both conscious and consciousness, possesses consciousness. So the way that I explained it, I'll say it again. A few times I heard Prabhupada say, the living entity is both conscious and consciousness. And I thought, that sounds cool. What does it mean? Or what's the intention of Prabhupada by saying, living entity is both conscious and consciousness. And I pondered it, and I knew that speculation was not the way to understand it, so I just continued to ponder it. And eventually a door opened, and I got the answer. And the door that opened was Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, where he explained it. And he explained it this way. What he was doing was addressing Buddhism, a brand of Buddhism that was present even during his time. Now, we often hear Shankaracharya drove Buddhism out of India, but there were still Buddhists in India after Shankaracharya. And there was a brand of Buddhism that looked a lot like Shankara's teaching, because they're actually quite similar. And they say explicitly, there's no soul. Now, Buddha was silent about whether there is or isn't, but this brand of Buddhism at the time says there's no soul. So Jiva Goswami took it on, did some arm wrestling with those people. And he made reference from the Vedas that says like this, as a lamp, that's why this image, is both luminous and illuminates things within the room, like pots and plates, so also the living entity is conscious and consciousness. Thus, extends out. What we hear Prabhupada say again and again is we're conscious of our own body or field of activities, chapter 13, Bhagavad Gita, but there's another entity that's conscious of all fields of activities, that's Paramatma. But the Atma is conscious of this field of activities, the body, pains and pleasures, etc. But that extends out. And so Krishna consciousness means to make the Krishna connection through bhakti. And the bhakti principle starts to awaken by the chanting of the holy name, which is through sound. And through sound we make that Krishna connection and awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness, etc. Hearing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and spiritual teachings by Krishna and of Krishna, or about Krishna. So that's our process. So we're extending consciousness to Krishna through that sound. And we receive that merciful sound from the spiritual master. Okay, now we're going to do a sound check. Because there's two verses from Queen Kunti's prayers that Jiva Goswami comments on in Priti Sandarbha. So let's see if our sound system works. We're ready for a backup in case it doesn't. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Should we do our backup plan? Is it coming through the speaker? Technology is great when it works. Are you ready? It's responsive. Hint. Pause a little bit after the sloka. Don't start chanting right away. Patal Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurti Svateshume
Snehakashamimam chindhi Pandushu Vishnishu Pata Vishvesha Vishvatma
Vishvamurte Svakeshame Snehakashamimam chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vishnishu
Pata Vishvesha Vishvatma Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me Snehakashamimam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vishnishu
Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me Snehakashamimam Chindhi Dridham Pandushu Vishnishu O Lord of the universe, soul of the person, form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Sneha means affection. Sneham Pashamimam Chindi. Sever the tie of affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Now that doesn't sound very nice. So what does she mean? Prabhupada's purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything of self-interest from the Lord, but the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. What does that mean? Sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen. Prabhupada writes, Jiva Goswami comments in Preeti Sandarbha, Anuchet 115, Queen Kunti thinks, if Lord Krishna departs from Hastinapur, that will be inauspicious for the Pandavas. And if he does not depart from Hastinapur and return to Dwarka, that will be inauspicious for the Vrishnis. Her heart is thus agitated by competing affections for these two sides of a family. Queen Kunti herein prays that the affection she bears for her kinsmen be destroyed. The truth is that when she sees how the two sides of her family dearly love Lord Krishna, her own love for Lord Krishna increases. Therefore, on the pretext of saying, please destroy my affection for my kinsmen, Kunti is really praying, please do not leave the association of either of the two sides of my family. That for Krishna, he can just expand himself and be in both places. That's not a problem. Now here, so there's this Anuchet 115, Preeti Sandarbha reference. So I looked it up, and sure enough, exactly what Prabhupada said, Jiva Goswami said, he said, and in Bhanu Swami's translation, he just translates it differently. May both sides never become detached from you. And an explanation is a little esoteric for newer people. You may have trouble understanding what it's saying, but I'll try. When you read, those of you that haven't read it yet, at some point you'll read Nectar of Devotion. And for those of you that have read Nectar of Devotion, you'll know that there are these two terms, Ashraya and Vishaya. Ashraya means, in this case, the heart. It connects to our previous topic. The heart is the vessel that carries love for the object, Vishaya. And in the science of rasa, when rasa becomes churned by the stimulations of ecstatic love, that's udipan, then feelings of love for the object become accelerated. In the heart that holds the affection for the object of love. That's the science of rasa. So the activities of Krishna, the glance of Krishna, the flute of Krishna, the smile of Krishna, the playfulness of Krishna, the everything that, you know, Krishna, and all the details and details, those are stimulations of ecstatic love. And it stimulates the heart, which is the abode of love for the object of love. Okay? Now there's a term in Rupa Goswami's teachings that alambana, alambana is both the ashraya and vishaya. Don't get worried about terminology. What Jiva Goswami is doing in this section of Priti Sandarbha is he's saying that Krishna is the Vishaya and the devotee of Krishna, like Queen Kunti and the relatives of Queen Kunti, they carry love for Krishna in their heart, and so Krishna is in their heart. And so they are also Vishayas for her, as much as Krishna is the object of her love. They are also the object of her love. So she's not saying, I don't want to love them anymore. That's not what she's saying. It's, may the material portion of the bodily connection be dropped, and then it becomes simply a soul-to-soul relationship. Where, oh, however many of us are in this room, we all have super soul within the heart. Side by side with the soul, or in the heart of the soul, whichever you like. The super soul is with us. Paramatma. Putting Paramatma, or Krishna, at the center, and Krishna is to be pleased. Then you have soul to soul relationships. So she's requesting Krishna take away the material portion, leaving only the spiritual portion of my affection. Let my affection go only to you, which means, again, the soul-to-soul relationship is where there's a relationship of love for the soul. And certainly there's this holistic picture. You don't neglect the rest of the entity. The embodied being's needs. Parents don't do that, and persons that care for one another don't do that. There is a holistic picture, but even in the holistic picture, Krishna is at the center. That's the message of Jiva Goswami. So let's carry on. Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity toward a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Let's take, you know, Maharaj Parikshit as one example. He was cursed to die, so he left. Or, and it doesn't say, you know, say goodbye to his wife and kids. He installed his son as the king to succeed him, but he left. to meet his departure. Anyway, there's many. Vibhishan, he didn't say goodbye. His wife was a pure devotee like he was. No, eventually she became the queen because he became the king. But he didn't say, you know, Haribol, beloved wife, I'm gonna go take shelter of Ram. Just, anyway, force of circumstance. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he discusses this situation with Grandfather Bhishma, which comes in the next chapter. And he, Grandfather Bhishma, wanted to see Krishna show his quality of placing the importance of protecting his devotee above anything else, including his own word, which is very dear to a king or a kshatriya. You speak something, you keep your word. But protecting Arjuna was more important to him. And Grandfather Bhishma was so happy to see Krishna exhibit his bhakta-vatsala quality. So now, the next verse, text 42.
Vaivenanyavishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit Pratimudvahata Dadha Gange Valghamudanvati
Vaivenanyavishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit Ratim Udvahatad Adha Gangevagyam Dandati
Vaivenanya Vishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit Ratim Udvahatad Adha Gangevagyam Dandati.
Pause. You forgot to pause after she sang. So, I'll read the translation, but first we'll do the Sanskrit. There's this word Vishaya. And Ananya Vishaya, she's requesting to her that there be Ananya Vishaya, no other object of affection. Matir, in her mind. Madhupati, or in the vocative Madhupate, she's calling Krishna. Lord of Madhu. Ratim, that's a nice word. Rati is one of the stages of bhakti. Just before the bhava stage, let her attraction be like the Ganga that's flowing udhanvati down to the sea constantly. So it's in this context that Jiva Goswami is commenting on these verses that the A is the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Why? Because they're holding Krishna in their heart and the object of affection is Krishna, and so they're objects of her affection also. So she's not asking, let me say goodbye to Pandavas and Vrishnis. She's not saying that. I hear a babbling child, and can the mother of the babbling child do the needful? Thank you very much. Okay. Like the Ganges flows inexorably towards the sea, she wants her mind to go exclusively to Krishna, and the Pandavas and Vrishnis, they're as Krishna eyes as you can get. They're objects of her affection also, an object of her Krishna affection. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges flows forever to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Krishna. Prabhupada writing, like this is Vishwanath. May my mind also carry its affection to you, who are the shelter of all the devotees. Just as the Ganga does not consider any obstacle in its course, not consider any obstacles that may arise while thinking of you, obstacles disappear. And instead, to cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of, this is Prabhupada, of the finer sentiments, finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. What's the objective? Krishna is to be pleased. That's bhakti. This inherent, from this morning's discussion, the inherent, innate affinity for pleasing Krishna. The innate feelings of wishing to be in Krishna's association. Prabhupada writes, relation of the soul. Shishi Radha Damodar Ki. You went too far. Whoop. He's not an experienced pujari here. Relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. Now this is empathic communication, it's connectivity. That very word is used again and again. So soul to soul connectivity. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. There's bondage and there's freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by a V medium of the relation with the super soul. So, illustration. There's a nice Chinese gentleman. Not following regular principles, but he's a good man. And he has another friend, and he's a good man too. And they have some things in common. They're both Chinese. And they both have beards. And they both have a soul within the body. It's a different soul, because souls are individual. And there's something else they have in common. They both have the same super soul within. So the soul-to-soul relation is through the via medium of super-soul, and then it's a soul-to-soul rather than culture-to-culture or body-to-body or like-mindedness and like-mindedness matching up. The relation of the soul to the soul can be established through the via medium of the super-soul. Saying the same thing in kind of poetic language, Prabhupada writes, Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else, which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. So when that soul-to-soul relation is established, then we can properly, at least better, see the world around us. Now, we also take a look at the world around us, but we want to see the world around us in relation to the super soul. And then we'll see Krishna there also. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we're almost done. Here's his explanation. Kunti is saying, may my mind hold affection, rati, for you, without any obstacle. Udva means to flow strongly. The mind should not think of anything else. Ananya Vishaya. Your devotees are non-different from you. And thus, without affection for them, affection for you cannot take place. It is not possible that this could please you. This I know. Therefore, let my mind have attraction for no one except you and your devotees. I pray to cut off affectionate bond with the Pandavas and Yadavas who are your devotees. But since it is a prayer in front of you, it means cutting only the material affection which arises from bodily identification. It is not cutting the affectionate relation with you. I want to cut that affection which causes bondage. That's soul-to-soul relation. And we have this wonderful example. This is Gopa Kumar. Again, this is the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. We narrate a little excerpt from part one. This is part two. Little cowherd boy holds two volumes of part two are there to describe what you see in this picture. Through chanting of his mantra, his Gopal mantra, or Madan Gopal mantra, he is connected again with Krishna. But the connection begins immediately as soon as he began chanting. It just hadn't matured yet, but when it matured, that's what it looked like. Him. And he embraced Krishna, and they both cried. Krishna said, please never leave again. And they both cried. Ananya Sohridam is used in that in relation to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. There's Ananya Vishaya. This is Sohridam. Hrid from the heart. Sohridam. Exclusive love for the Lord that she is asking. Let her mind move like the Ganges moves toward Krishna alone. And that soul-to-soul relation opens the doors for loving exchanges even when we're functioning on this plane, but nonetheless having a soul-to-soul relation. It looks like, but it isn't the same as the affairs of the temporary world. Just like bhakti may look like we do everything else, everything that everybody else does, but the consciousness is different. That's the soul-to-soul relationship, and we learned this from our beloved founder, Acharya. So I told you that I would like to repeat that theme that Srila Prabhupada is our ever-well-wisher and the acharya of this empathic communication. And so there's a little recording. I requested Lakshmi Moni, who some of you may know, Prabhupada disciple. When we were conducting our organization development committee meeting, she was given the assignment of preparing some So it was at the very beginning of the meeting. It's hard to like get everybody's attention because they're all over the place. But so it was, okay, everybody sits, put all your papers away, no side conversation, put your computer down, put your pen down, total attention, and when the room is totally quiet, then we're going to hear from Lakshmimurti Prabhupada's words. So we're going to hear Prabhupada's words about the position of well-wisher. We heard, now we're going to hear again. It's just underscoring. So, here we go.
As God is for everyone, a saintly person is for everyone. Why should be for Hindu or Muslim or Christian? That is the definition of a saintly person, Surida. Surida means well-wisher. So either Christ or any Vaishnava, he is a well-wisher for everyone. Surida sarvadhutanam. We are preaching all over the world and they are appreciating. The sadhu is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. The word sarvadehinam refers to all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does the human being have a material body, but other living entities as well. Not only is a sadhu everyone's well-wisher, but he is not an enemy of anyone. He is alto shanta, peaceful. These are preliminary characteristics of a sadhu. He is also attached to no one but Krishna. A Vaishnava is always a well-wisher of everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way, dira, dira, jana, priyo. They are popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. They are equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmavat, a Vaishnava, should be like Paramatma, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmin, but he is also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays, even to the home of a Chandala, a Vaishnava never refuses to act for everyone's welfare. One of the qualifications of the sadhu, it is these very tolerant and is merciful to all fallen souls. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. Spiritual advancement is never checked by material condition. Therefore, it is Prashanta, Vyamanyava. He never gets angry, never angry. Sadhu means saintly person. So who is saintly person? Titikshava, tolerant, without being disturbed. Now in the Western countries, Lord Jesus Christ, the tolerant, he is being crucified. Still he is praying to God, please excuse them. One should try to become sadhu. Another quality is well-wisher. Just like we are advising all our students, try to save your country. They're becoming hippies. The future is very gloom. Try to save them. So Vaishnava will always think like that. How people will be happy. Sarve sukino bhavantu. A Vaishnava desire is not exploitation. Vaishnava's desire that how others will be happy, how they will understand Krishna, how they will get happiness in this life and the next life, that is Vaishnava.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And while we were being, I was intolerant, the father was being of this little boy who was taking his glasses off, and father was just being very tolerant until the child wanted to put the glasses on himself, and he said no. Okay, so we have some time. The other classes, we didn't have much time for audience interaction. Not necessarily just this discussion, but anything you'd like to discuss from the time we've been spending together? Atoya, toward the back, put your hand up.
Guru Maharaj, in the morning you were mentioning that true empathic communication, or the real empathic or real empathy, comes from when Krishna is in the center. And so my question is there any, like for those people who do not have Krishna as center of their lives, is there still useful to talk about empathic communication as mode of goodness quality, or it's not going to be useful or impactful at all?
This is a bridge preaching question. Sure. For example, we're not a vegetarian society, but Prabhupada would encourage people, for example, Christians, don't kill. Thou shalt not kill. It's a sub-religious principle. Sure. Now, we know where that bridge is going, and they may not know where that bridge is going. But even if they do meditation, you were there in January when I was speaking about Bhakti Joe from Tuscaloosa, right? So, would you like to know what happened to Bhakti Joe when he went back to Tuscaloosa? For those that you weren't there, it was a plane ride from Los Angeles to Chicago. University of Alabama had just lost the national championship football game. And 3/4 of the plane were sad Tuscaloosa students. And in the, next to me, the window seat, I was in the aisle seat, there was nobody in between, was Bhakti Joe. He didn't know he was Bhakti Joe, he just knew it was Joe. But in the course of the interaction, he wanted to know more about meditation, because he learned about meditation through Google. Guru Google told him about meditation. And he's, you know, was describing. So fast forward in time, I put Joe in touch with some devotees that then helped Joe to form a Bhakti Meditation Club at the University of Alabama. I don't know what he called it, but it's Bhakti Meditation. And now he has 20 students doing Bhakti Meditation. And the temple president in Atlanta is guiding him how to, and is visiting him and doing everything, you know. So it started with just, you know, meditation. But he knew it would take him to some place that he really liked, but he didn't know how to stay there. So he wanted to know how to stay there. He didn't use that language, but that's what he wanted. You have to have shelter, or you can't stay there. Now, that's a special person. Not everybody that does meditation once is Bhakti Joe. But there are such persons. And we want to find such persons. And help them take whatever for them is the next step. So your question is, mode of goodness, is that okay? It's okay. We're not a meditation society any more than we're a vegetarian society. But we encourage people, become a vegetarian. Then offer your food to Krishna, and then and so forth. Yes, Arsana.
This morning you showed us an image of the nested heart, Anya Bilashita Shunyam. And the heart of bhakti was intention.
Yes.
so, when I do the devotional processes, it's not necessarily always pure intention, but sometimes there is definitely intention to please the guru. But I see that I have long-standing doubts and newer challenges that are coming up. So I had this doubt, you know, is intention sufficient? Because I've also heard...
Speak slowly. You have a doubt?
The doubt was that is intention alone sufficient? Because I have heard from you in the past, even path to hell is paved through good intention.
Yeah.
I just don't know if, am I making a progress? Should I be patient? Or do
be
I
patient.
Have my...
Be patient.
Okay.
The message from the morning was that intention is already there. The mature stage is Krishna Prema. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Sadhya Kabunoi. And then there's the process of awakening. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte, beginning with hearing. Now, there's different qualities of hearing, which is, you know, another way of saying what you're saying. There are different qualities of hearing. And keep going. Hearing and improving the quality, and sometimes intention is clearer and sometimes it's weaker. But, you know, that good intention that is the path to hell is guided by the mode of ignorance, not guided by their previous acharyas. That's the good intention that's guided by ignorance that leads to hell. We're guided by something, as like Prabhupada says. I said to Professor Katosky, what's the difference between you and me? You accept an authority, Lenin. I accept an authority, Krishna. What's the difference? We're the same. Now, let's talk about whether to accept Krishna or Lenin, but we're the same. We both accept some authority. So many people, their authority is their mind. And their mind, according to the modes of nature, says, this is the good path. Their attention is, I want to go the good path. Good intention, guided by the modes of nature, leads to the wrong place. So, by shravanadi, by shravana, it's adi means etc. and so forth. By the bhakti process, it will take you to the good place. That's faith, nurtured by good association that gives the right sound vibration, so it is guiding you to the right place. So be patient. And refocus regularly. Refocus, recalibrate, realign yourself to that which is the real and, you know, the deeper intention. Keep going deeper to what your deeper intention is and refresh. Pause, hit the reset button, okay. What am I doing? It's uncomfortable to ask yourself that question. It's a good question to ask. What's really important to me? I mean, there's coming and going kind of important things, like, you know, fresh challenges. So you address them, be driven by that higher intention. That's the bhakti process. That's where you're acting from the heart. Krishna is to be pleased. I'm not really clear in this new, fresh circumstance exactly how Krishna is to be pleased. That's okay. But I know that Krishna is to be pleased. And when you're searching for how Krishna is to be pleased, you're much more likely to get an answer how than if you're not asking the question. And you'll continue consistently to ask the question if it's something that's you're feeling within. I want. I want to love and be loved. As we all do. That is repose that love with Krishna and then soul-to-soul loving relations. Even the other person who I'm in this relationship with may not be thinking like that for whatever the reason is going on. Your children may not be thinking like that, or whoever out there may not be thinking like that. Okay. There were a few other hands. There's a lot of hands. All on the ladies' side, almost all. So, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. My question was coming back to, you said that Jiva has Jiva has both conscious, he's conscious.
Conscious and consciousness.
And consciousness. So, yeah. And the consciousness is something which extends out.
Yes.
So, is it the consciousness makes us aware that the Jiva is conscious? Is it that link?
That's a trick question. Are you asking which comes first, the chicken or the egg? That
yeah,
we're conscious and therefore we know that there's consciousness, or there's consciousness, therefore we know we're conscious?
Yeah, because so far...
Well, it's both. Why have one have come before the other? Why not both?
Before I heard this, I used to think that these two things are same. But I realized that they are not, because
they
sun
are the
and sun...
We are both conscious and consciousness.
Right.
Just like the sun radiates sunshine. So the sunshine is resting on the sun... But they're inseparable.
Yeah.
Consciousness of the living entity is resting upon the fact that the soul is conscious. And we're part of the supreme consciousness who is supremely conscious. So, it's, you're overtaxing your brain. Both. You're not satisfied. You think about it. Okay. Okay. No. Yes. Who's got the microphone? Oh, there we go. Okay.
So, recently I was doing a Sunday school on a Mother's Day special class, and I was talking about this affection.
Talking about?
This affection that children...
Affection on Mother's Day. That's a natural topic.
So one 10-year-old girl asked me this question that she has been reading or hearing from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya, how he developed detachment, especially from his mother before he left to take sannyas to Puri. So she was asking me this question. She thought... Because for children, it is difficult to separate what is material affection and spiritual affection. So my question is, as adults, we have enough examples and inspiration to, like you and Kunti, to understand and to apply proper affection from the right platform to the relationships we have around us. So is there any... example from scriptures or any like any quote where, because children seems to get confused when they hear this, that we should not be attached, we should not be affectionate. So
you're restate your question clearly, because it's everything is clear and then it starts to get like unclear. So what specific you want? Quotes that show how to repose affection. That's what you're looking for
a child to develop that soul-to-soul relationship.
Well, you don't need too many. Prahlad is a really good one. He had affection for his father. He had affection for his classmates. He had affection for people that are suffering, although he used Prabhupada's translation at least, is fools and rascals. But he had affection for them because of their suffering. So Prahlad is a really good example. He's a kid. Maybe kids can relate to another kid. Now, he's on a platform that's different than the child that's hearing about Prahlad, but he's the role model. He's the role model. He's the example. Properly placed affection is not upon the body. He's garlanding Lord Nrsingadev, who is ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Prabhupada asks this question, how is this the affection of a child? His father is being ripped to pieces. He's offering a garland to the person who's doing it. Hooray! But, you know, the affection goes to the soul of his father, the ill deeds of his father he was not unaware of. He was the recipient of those ill deeds. And so many other people were. And he wanted to absolve his father of the reactions of those misdeeds. It's affection to the soul. Now, what about the holistic picture? Because that's the soul. What about the rest of the entity? But you know, suffering is not only on the physical. It's on the gross physical. It's on the subtle physical. People suffer a lot, but it's due to their ignorance. And so, dear Supreme Lord, please remove their ignorance. Eased of not just the reaction, but the tendency to do those ignorant activities and then suffer. So it's the deeper sense of affection for the causes of material existence and the causes of material suffering. Okay? Amara up front, and I think we're going to end because it's 6 o'clock. Put your hand up.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
The ladies win this evening.
So, I wanted to clarify one understanding, Maharaj, that the needs that we are talking about, so some needs belong to the body.
Which belongs to the body?
Certain needs belong to body and certain needs belong to the soul.
Okay, this is back to the needs picture, okay.
So, isn't it that when I am done with bodily needs, that is the time when I am able to pay attention to my needs of my soul.
Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. You got to make some noise on that door also. It's not open all the way. Just get the noise over with. So. There's a story behind these doors, I'll tell you one day. They're from 55th Street, Manhattan Temple. Go ahead.
So, I wanted to understand, Maharaj, that are these needs are not like blazing fire? When will they get satisfied and I will be able to take care of my spiritual needs? So, that is... Like today morning, Veer Krishna Maharaj spoke about like this needs hierarchy.
He spoke about?
Needs hierarchy.
Need hierarchy, yeah.
So, I want to understand that these needs on the physical level are really like blazing fire. So, they are not, I mean, once it is satisfied, another need arises. Once that is satisfied, another need arises. So, this loop is going on.
This is going on, as Prabhupada would say. So now what's your question specifically? You want to know how to set the needs hierarchy program? Is that what your question is?
Yes, Maharaj. When will that time come, actually?
When does the time come for what?
To satisfy the spiritual needs.
Oh, that's priority. When does the time come? First thing in the morning.
Then will I be able to do it from my heart sometime?
Well, that's up to you. That's recommended. But at least take your medicine, whether you're doing it from your heart or not.
since why I am not able to do from my heart, because there are needs. These are...
No, that's not the only reason. The heart is cluttered. That's the reason. It's not because there's other needs. Sorry. Nice try. There are other needs, and the mind is distracted by the other needs, and that's the problem. Because we're not prioritizing properly. Now, your question is not so, the language is different, but it's very similar to Varsana's question.
Yes, Maharaj. I understand.
Okay, all right. So it's after 6 o'clock, and according to the schedule, we're supposed to have Nama Yogya at 6 o'clock. Is that right? So I have one for you all. Before you get up and go anywhere, please stay put. I'm very enlivened by seeing so many people from so many distant places coming here and taking part in, a seminar that's focused on the quality of austerity of speech or speaking with compassion, empathy, and understanding, going deeply into how that becomes possible, what it looks like, what it doesn't look like, and so forth. So I feel that the subject matter is very relevant and practical, and I hope you're feeling the same. In the course of coming here, some people from all parts of the country, I mean, state of Washington, California, state of Texas, the state of Florida, state of North Carolina, the state of Timbuktu, I mean, people from all over the place here. So, and there's costs involved in coming and being here and so forth. So I got this little report that some unexpected budget expense came up, and the event is not meeting its expenses. So I was asked, what to do. So I said, let me make an appeal to the devotees that are appreciating what we're doing here and have the capacity to help us meet the budget, because it is a significant shortfall without the detail. So if you wish to help meet that shortfall, you can see Satya Sar. Here's the event organizer. He's a very busy man, but he spent lots and lots of time preparing for all of this, and with little surprise as the other organizers of his team. So if you want to help us meet the expenses, then you see him, Satya Sar, and let's give a big Hari Bol to Satya Sar for his work. Whoa. So, put your money where your mouth is. I mean, make a contribution if you can. Then that'll be nice. Because otherwise he's contemplating he'll have to do it himself. I wouldn't want to see that. Now, other announcements. Go ahead. Practical ones.
If you have not yet registered for the event, please register as early as possible. And the second announcement is about the parking again. It's a reminder. So please park only in the designated areas along the side here and back over there. And if there is a barricade, please do not cross over that barricade and still go ahead and drive and park there. So let's keep within the limits that's allocated to us. So that will make it more safer for us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. And straight from Vrindavan, the 24-hour kirtan program, Govinda is here with us. Oh, there he is, hiding. Okay, thank you. So, this is one of the highlights of the whole event, so please stick around for the highlight. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.